Hello and welcome to the third Manx Footy pod of the 2021 season. Lots to get through this week as we round up the midweek action's main talking points and deliver a boatload of reaction from FC Isle of Man's debut game with Guernsey on Saturday. As always, I'm joined by a man who won't be standing in the Douglas South by-election next week, Disco Dave Norton. How the devil are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very well. You're looking very brown. Have you been sunning yourselves in the evening?
Why, summer holiday was going down to the bowl last Saturday. So, caught the sun. I'm not used to it.
Well, yes, we've got loads to discuss from Saturday's game. It was a tremendous night, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was great to see such a large crowd down there, and obviously for the Ravens to get there. Their win in their first game, it was just all around a great occasion.
Yeah, 2,200 I think was the official figure, people in the bowl. People go, well, there was empty seats, but I spoke to the club that it was something to do with health and safety. Hopefully they'll maybe be able to, now they've seen how popular it could be, maybe accommodate a few more people next time they've got a home fixture.
Definitely.
But yeah, before we get into all the FC Isle of Man shenanigans, I'm delighted to introduce a new feature to the Manx Footy podcast. It's Sam Reads the Results.
The Canada Life Premier League. Douglas High School All Boys 1, Rushen United 10, Ramsey 2, St John's United 1, Douglas Athletic 3, Moran 2, Peel 4, Laxey 5, Douglas Royal 1, Corinthians 12, St Mary's 3, A United 2. The Canada Life Combination 1, Rushen United 5, Douglas High School All Boys 0, St John's 2, Ramsey 11, Moran 1, Douglas Athletic 5, Laxey 2, Peel 6, Corinthians 10, Douglas Royal 0. The JCK Division 2, Maloo 2, Castletown 3, Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys 2, Colby 2, Union Mills 6, Jims 0, Governors Athletic 17, Paul Rose 0, Douglasson District 5, Braddon 2, Michael United 1, Foxdale 11. JCK Combination 2, Castletown Maloo away win, Colby 3, Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys 6, Jims 2, Union Mills 7, Paul Rose United Governors Athletic was postponed, Braddon 0, Douglasson District 1, Foxdale 3, Michael United 4.
Well, that was very exciting. We have our very own Tim Dudgeon there.
Yeah, I never thought we'd get Ragabone Man, Ragabone Sam on the podcast, but there you go.
There you go. He's been pestering us for years, so that's it. Now he's done it. He said his mum might even listen to us now.
Oh,
now he's
fantastic. Done. Another listener. What are we up to now? Four?
Four or five. What a good day. Right, let's look back at some of those results, Dave. Obviously, the Canada Life Premier League, there was a bit of a false start on Saturday. Four games went ahead. There was a couple of games postponed, as we've discussed before, because of the FC Isle of Man game.
Yeah.
There was a full hit on Tuesday evening, six games.
There's only really one place to start, isn't
there,
I think?
Yes, and it was the game that Ragabone Sam was actually at.
It was, unofficially reporting on Twitter for us.
Yeah, Peel 4, Laxey 5.
Fantastic. What a result that is. I mean, by all accounts, it was just one of those mental games you get every now and then. Both sides had two players sent off. Laxey were 2-0 up, 3-1 up, and then it was 3-all. Then Peel went 4-3 up, and then two late goals swung it for the Miners.
Yeah, so. Jordan Cooper and Max Murley getting all the important goals and towards the end there to win, get a rare win at Peel for Laxey. I think I covered the correspondent fixture last season when Screech, David call it, the legend that is, he's got a last-minute equaliser, and I think that was their first point there since 2013. So yeah. Goodness knows when their last win at Peel was. But fantastic. That's 2 out of 2 for Johnny Palmer's men as well, because they won 5-0 on Saturday against Douglas Athletic. I said in my pre-season predictions that this would be their year to try and bridge that gap to that top four, but it could be beyond that if they keep this form up.
It could, and obviously one of the things you said was they want to get as many points on the board early before some of their players go off to uni.
Yeah.
What a perfect way to do it. I mean, and that, as you talk about there, that win against Peel is a monkey off their back in many ways. So who knows? They're a fairly young squad, full of confidence. Who knows how far they can go?
Yeah, there were goals galore, 46 over the six matches. I worked that out using my calculator rather than mine. It was about an average of 7 goals a game. Two of the most big scoring matches. One was at Bella Fletcher, the Bella Fletcher derby, no less, as Douglas Royal lost 12-1 to very near neighbours Corinthians. Corinthians, all four of their scorers played for FC Isle of Man on Saturday, and it just showed the sort of class they have available.
They do, yeah. I mean, when you look at, you know, Sean Doyle, Steve Whitley was one of the stars of the show for FC Isle of Man. You know, Chris Cannell was there, obviously, as well. They've just got such a good squad. And obviously, Royal, it was a bad day at the office for them. I believe they lost a couple of players to injury in the first game of the season, didn't they? Which didn't help their cause, so hopefully they'll be back soon. But yeah, excellent result for Corinthians.
Golf Sam Baines in that one. We mentioned him last week in the pre-season
show. Did you see it on YouTube, by the way? Hattie had this. It was a screamer from distance. Matty Quirk had run out of his area to clear a ball, and ball pinged around in midfield, and then Baines picked it up and booted it with left foot over Matty Quirk from about 40, 45 yards. It was a peach.
And obviously Sam started last season at Corinthians, so I bet he enjoyed that goal. Maybe not the result. The other big result on Tuesday, I should say, was Douglas High School Boys 1, Rushen United 10. Dan Attersley, 5 goals, matching Sean Doyle's performance up at Bella Fletcher with 5 himself. It's what we talked about last week a lot, wasn't it? The firepower Rushen have, and they're unleashing it, aren't they?
They are. I mean, I certainly expected this to be closer. I mean, Old Boys, good result in the opening day, but yeah, ruthless Rushen. I think actually last season, I think I was at Rushen's first game, and Hattersley scored 5 in that game as well.
It was in St Mary's last season, of course.
St Mary's. I think they beat Pulley on the opening day, I think. And so obviously he's gunning for the Golden Boot, which he never quite got last year for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that squad, it's just full of star performers, and they're ones to watch this year, aren't they?
Elsewhere, we had a lot tighter games than the other three games that took place. Ramsey beating St John's 2-1 in the Jamie Moffat derby. He was tweeting himself that night, being our correspondent on the spot, wasn't he?
Yeah, I like this, how we've got various contributors going around the grounds now. A very good win for Ramsey, a good start to the season for them. St John's, obviously they'll be disheartened by losing it, but it just shows you how competitive it will probably be towards the bottom end of the table this season. So, good result for them, for Ramsey.
Dylan Pickles. Now, I mentioned it last week, didn't I? I said, I'm not a football manager, but I'd have moved Dylan up front.
Yeah.
He scored a couple of goals on Saturday.
He got 3 on Saturday.
Three on Saturday, and he scored again on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it shows you. Yeah.
It shows, isn't it? Elsewhere, St Mary's edged past Ayr United 3-2 in what I believe was a very competitive game of the bowl. St Mary's had their FC Isle of Man players back, didn't they? I saw Megan's excellent pictures on Facebook. Yep. Frank was playing, Jack was playing, and I don't think Alex Harrison's injured at the moment.
But obviously the man that stole the headlines in that game was one Steve Priestnell.
Of course, yes, back like Backstreet.
Yeah, he loves it, doesn't he, in the Premier League?
Yeah, and he scored a couple of goals. I think that'll take him. I think he scored over 300 in the Premier League?
Yeah, he has. I mean, I know
Pecker is the all-time Premier League's all-time leading goal scorer. So we're talking since 2007.
Yeah.
Since the Manx Top Flight was rebranded. But Peck is up there. Stido's up there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got a bit of ground to make up now. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see that little battle going on in the Golden Boot standings this year between him and Kieran McNulty.
Because, of course, Kieran, obviously, back at St George as well.
He is, after a sojourn away at Michael. It's going to be another interesting season. But yeah, it's always good to see players like Steve Priestnell play. You know, he's such a dangerous attacker. You just make a goal out of nothing. So, good to see him back in the top flight.
Some good character shown by Douglas Athletic on Tuesday night as well. They lost their first game 5-0. I thought, oh God, this could be it. But they bounced back. Good 3-2 win over Marown. Again, I believe that was a good close match at Springfield Road. I would say, they'll be chuffed for those 3 points, won't they, Dave?
Yeah, massively. I mean, the man of the defeat last week against Laxey wasn't particularly good. So Hattie was down covering it for us. But yeah, big 3 points. As I said on last week's podcast, I think the Pinks will be safe this season. And these are the sort of games that they're going to need to win to do that. Tough break from around, but Dafkin, when they've got the likes of Martin Cowan and Mikey Callister, they've got the attacking qualities there to do it. So good win.
Marown, obviously they lost to Ramsey on Saturday.
Yeah.
They've lost their first two. who else? Oh, Ayr have lost their first two. They lost to, obviously, Douglas Royal on Saturday.
Yeah.
And St John's have lost their first two.
Yeah.
Is it panic stations, or am I being completely over the top in a very pundit timeline?
Yeah, I don't think it's too much to worry about yet. I mean, particularly for St John's, I mean, their first game, was they were away at Old Boys, wasn't it? And they lost 2-1.
No, home to Old Boys.
Home to Old Boys, sorry. So they've only had two very narrow defeats. You know, I don't think they'll be particularly worried yet. You know, St John's will probably, they'll target games against the likes of Moran and Dafka and Royal to get those points on the board. So no, I think again, you mentioned it there, that it's spirited performances, isn't it? You know, it's not like they've gone down without a fight. They've got such quality in that squad. You see Sean Kelly, you see Johnny Shields. I know Max Kilcorn's away travelling at the moment. Whether or not he'll be back at any point for the season, I don't know, but I think you know, not panic stations yet.
We should just point out, actually, we talked about Ayr last week and bringing in Harry Best and the legend that is Andy Ball.
Of course.
Who apparently only last his outfield re-debut. Is that even the right?
I don't even know. It is now.
It is a word now. For Ayr Combi, only lasted 70 minutes last week. Because I don't know who's in goal for Ayr's Combi. I should have checked this. My journalism skills shining through once again. unfortunately, broke his nose during that game last week against... they would have been Royal, wouldn't they? I think he won. So Baller had to go into nets in the last 20 minutes. So, and I think he'll probably have to cover that for the foreseeable, won't he?
Will, yeah, but as long as he gets a steady supply of biscuits, he'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I was going to say, but when we got lost in that conversation last week, we might have missed that Danny Oram signed for Ayr United.
Huge signing for them. There's so much quality there now in that team.
Danny obviously was at Corinthians most recently, but he's had spells at Rushden, St George's, Ramsey. I call him, he's almost like Franny Jeff is a fox in the box. You know, he's a goal scorer, isn't he?
He certainly is, yeah. So, that's a big plus for them. You know, I think he'll bring that experience. So, yeah, that's a major plus.
And then they can get him firing with Dean Tate.
Oh, yeah.
Goals galore. Goals galore. You heard it here first. Tuesday night, obviously, there was a full hit in JCK Division 2, Dave.
Wednesday night.
Sorry, Wednesday night, yes. Yep. I'm getting my Tuesdays and Wednesdays mixed up. Big, probably a headline, though, was the big win for Governors. Their record win since they formed, it was about 5-6 years ago now.
Yeah, it was. And obviously, 4-5-1 last week, Tony Sewell was saying he's tipping Govs to win to finish in the top four. Well, two games in. Plenty of goals, no conceded at all. I think, you know, it's looking good for them.
So they won 17-0 against Paul Rose on Wednesday.
Yes.
Who did they beat on Saturday?
Braddon, was
Braddon,
it?
Yeah, 3-0.
3-0, I think, yeah.
So, yeah, great result that as well.
We should mention in that Braddon game against Govs, unfortunately, Konstantin Lazarov got injured in that game. Right. I think he's managed to break his jaw in three places. So, you know, best wishes for a speedy recovery to him. He'll be a big loss for them. Although, obviously, it didn't show last night on Wednesday. So,
Carl Dobbin was the man. Former Union Mills fullback turned star striker. I think he's got a double hat-trick.
Yeah, just the six goals. Not too bad then, is it?
Recent signing for the Govs. But, yeah, his experience will come in. I think he was part of the Mills team that won the second tier treble a few years ago now.
Played against Geordies in the FA Cup final.
Obviously, so he's been there, done that, bought the T-shirt and the smoothie, probably. he's the man. He scored six. So Mikey Nash was on the score sheet as well. The Mills Messi.
That's it. So
they seem to be getting the bands back together just a bit further down the road now. Obviously, Govs relocated to Colby as well. So
they have, down at Station Fields this season. It's just any excuse to get anywhere to Dickie Gale, isn't it? Obviously a very good result for Govs. But, you know, it's tempered obviously by the fact that Pulley is struggling at the moment and struggling for players. I believe there's still no word on a manager for them. So again, a plea, if anyone's looking for a manager's job, get down to Springfield Road. But yeah, all signs looking good for Govs. Obviously the real tests are still to come, but you can't say fairer than that. Two games played, 20 goals scored. It's not too bad.
No. There were two derby games on Wednesday evening in the second tier. We'll talk with the one that seems to be the most erratic and the one that Hattie was at, and that was Malou 2, Castletown 3. It was sort of a typical seesaw game, loads of early goals. Castletown coming out on top. I think they had a couple of sin bins as well, didn't they?
They did. I believe the winning goal was scored when, surprise, Alex Crawley was in the sin bin.
Yeah.
So,
56th minute winner. Harrison Pickard, I think, was
yes.
John Luke's brother. Yeah, he scored a very niche reference point there.
Star Trek into Clagmaine,
yeah, great win for Castown that, because they took a bit of a hiding on Saturday, didn't they? So they bounced back, another demonstration of Ian Dowie's famed bounce back ability in the Max Football Leagues. Malou, though, now, we taught them up last week with our hype man in many respects. I think in my 4-5-1 prediction, said they could be troubling the Paul Henry spots this year.
Oh, definitely.
But they've lost their first two.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this. They've been in a similar position, haven't they? A couple of seasons ago, they brought in loads of new players, and it did take time for them to settle. And in some ways, they didn't really settle at all during that season. Hopefully, that won't happen this year. I think it's just going to take a few games, a few weeks for them to all bed in. I think they'll be all right, but obviously, massively disappointed with this result.
Malou, though, we should point out, snuck one through the door on Friday night. Jamie Skillen came in.
Massive.
Which is a great player, obviously former St George's, Old Boys,
St Mary's.
Been in and around the island squad, played away in America as a scholarship, class player. Been, as you say, at St Mary's last season. If they can get him, keep him fit, he's a great player for that.
He'll be one of the best in the division, without doubt. So,
So it's not all doom and gloom down at Clagmaine.
But they had their history on their side, we believe.
Oh, yes, yeah. I forgot about this tremendous stat.
Yeah, Statty Patty Quinney. He told Hattie last night, I believe it's Malou haven't beaten Castletown at Clagmaine since, was it 1984?
Wow.
You talk
about monkeys off your back or bogey teams, but that is some record.
That really is, yeah.
That's 36 years. That's as old as me.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously for a long time, Castletown were in the Premier League, and Malou weren't. But so it is, it's tempered by that. But still, that's an amazing stat. So I hope that's true, Patty.
Yeah. That sounds like one of those things you sort of half hear in a pub and then suddenly becomes a fact. But yeah, I'm sure Patty would know if anyone did.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other derby on Wednesday night saw Michael United welcome Foxtel to Blair Road. And it was Foxtel that returned to the warmth of the Baltic with an 11-1 win under their arm. It was a bit. The weather wasn't great on Wednesday night, and Blair Road, possibly up there with Gary Moore for the most exposed pitch in Manx football, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you imagine if this game was going ahead tonight or tomorrow with Storm Ellen on the way? But
I think she was clearing her throat a bit last night because it was quite windy at times. But yeah, 11-1. Jay Chatwood, he's staking his claim for the silver boot. I think he grabbed 5 goals as well.
He did, yeah. So.
Yeah, so but good win for Foxtel. Anthony Corkle's obviously tenure started well. They won. I think they won on Saturday as well. Then they beat DD 1-0.
Yes, so two
Chatwood
wins.
Scoring again. So they've started off well, and should be there or thereabouts coming in the season.
Yeah, definitely. Well, they've got the firepower. So far they seem to be coping without the likes of Will Penhallowick. So yeah, they'll definitely be there or thereabouts. Michael, obviously a bad defeat, but. Let's not forget where they were a few weeks ago. Just the fact that they're putting out two teams. Yeah, it's fantastic. So, well done to them.
Collective pat on the back for the boys down there. Union Mills, 6, Jim's nil. Luke Booth, we talked about it. We thought he was going to be there or thereabouts in the Silver Boot race. He scored another. I think he scored 5 in his first 2 games.
Yeah. So,
Patrick last night on Wednesday night.
He's absolutely flying. Mills, they're just getting the job done, aren't they?
This follows a big win on Saturday as well, doesn't it? They beat Paul Roaster's sword as well.
Yeah, 20-0. They're definitely going to be a contender this year. All the way through that Mills squad, there's talent there. So as long as they can keep them fit. I assume that Sam Kane wasn't playing because he played for FC Alamann.
And then tweaked his hamstring last week.
Yeah. But he was back in the gym a couple of days ago. Yeah. So who knows, but... Either way, that Mills squad is really impressive.
Yeah, Jordan Crawley, Carl Urin, and Luke, it's a phenomenal front three, really.
Yeah.
It would scare the life out of most back lines in Division 2. Elsewhere, the other two games, it was 2-2 draw between Youthy and Colby. I must mention Colby, actually, because I think we did them a bit of a disservice on the pre-season roundup last week. Now, I thought they would maybe struggle a bit this season, but we forgot one man, didn't we? Carl Hickey.
Yes.
He scored a boatload on Saturday. And now, unfortunately, I think he got injured last night.
Yes, our sources have told us it's a pretty serious injury. We don't quite know what it is yet.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we hope for a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
If he's out for a while, it's a huge loss to Colby. I mean, the amount of goals he scores, you know, his all-round play for the Moonlighters is really good. So, yeah, fingers crossed he's back soon.
Not bad for a centre-back.
Not too shabby.
Darren Hutchinson also scored in that game. Another man staking his claim for the silver boot early doors, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And, you know, we talked about it last week, but that team that Youth have assembled, you know, it all signs do point to it between them and Mills for the title and promotion this year. So, yeah, obviously they'll be disappointed to drop points, but, you know, Colby's going to be one of the toughest games of the season for them. So, you know, probably a fair result.
Points better than not, isn't it?
That's it.
Douglasson District 5, Braddon 2. Douglasson District off the mark. They obviously, as we've discussed, lost to Foxdale narrowly on Saturday, but they bounced back again. Another team bouncing back. There's an abundance of bouncing back this midweek. Daniel Clegg Stewart, he's just the man for them, isn't he? The go-to man. Got a couple. And they're up and running. Mark Quirk, the last season's combination goal scoring sensation, seems to make the transition to the first team now, and he's finding his feet at that level.
He is. How many times did we talk him up last year? Yeah, we wanted him in the first team, and there he is. And Andrew Doss will be pleased to get that first win under his belt.
Against his former club, no less.
Exactly. So, that's it. I think, you know, they'll hopefully want to put a bit of a run together now, and I'm sure Dave Matheson's a very happy man today.
Always a happy man.
Very,
always a happy
very
man, Dave Matheson.
Yeah.
Right, time to reflect on Saturday, Dave. We already touched on it a bit. It was a great night. It couldn't have really gone any better. Jack McVeigh gets the... I would say it couldn't have gone any better. They could have scored a few more goals. They had the chances, didn't they?
They certainly did, yeah. But, you know, they were up against the Guernsey side that didn't really hit their straps, did they, Guernsey? I think... FC Alamann were fully deserved winners overall.
Yeah. They played really well, and it was obviously a game that broke up in the second half because Bassey shuffled his pack, didn't he? Brought on 11 changes if you count Adam Cool coming on for Sam, who we mentioned in the first half. And then he brought Sean on late as well, so it was another change. He used his whole squad. Guernsey didn't have that luxury. I think they only travelled with 17 or 18. I think one pulled out on the day, actually.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the plus for Guernsey was having that Dave Reichel back. I just think, you know, what was impressive was, okay, yes, the momentum shifted a little bit in the second half. Guernsey fought a bit more for it, but the Alamann, I mean, obviously with the speed of like Dan Simpson, you've got Alex Holden, people like that, you know, they looked so dangerous going forward. Jamie Johnston could have had a hat-trick himself. It just wasn't one of those days for him, but... Mm. I thought he played really well, just all the way throughout the team, and you know, I think
throughout the squad.
So I thought both keepers did well. Glenn, particularly in the second half,
yeah.
Pulled off a couple of good saves. So yeah, it was just you know, it was all just a massive success, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we spoke to both Basses, Chris Senior and Junior, and of course Paul Jones, who provides the sandwich filling in this Bassey sandwich. Bassey sandwich? You know, there's a lot of sandwich references here, and not. But anyway, you're going to hear now from, first of all, Chris Senior, successful for management, spoke to you after they won, Dave. Then we'll listen to Paul Jones, an emotional Paul Jones, because this was obviously the realisation of a dream.
It was, yeah.
And then I spoke to my old mucker, Chris Junior, and of course we had to discuss his dad's latest fashion accessory.
Chris, congratulations, a 1-0 win in the first ever game. How does that feel?
I'm totally elated. You know, it's been a brilliant day, the whole event, the way they've organised it, the crowd. And like I say, I would love to pay a big thank you to the crowd because they made the difference today. And I just hope people will go away and buy their season tickets now because, you know, all right, yes, it was sold out. But you know what? That will make people think about getting in early next time and buying tickets. And that's what it's all about, because if there is money to be made for FC Isle of Man, that money is going to go back into the community and in developing sports. So that's the best thing about this. It's not just, all right, the football team for now is at the forefront, but it's about the community. That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
But as a manager and my team and the way they played, every man, you know, down to a T was brilliant today.
Well, this is it. I mean, you could argue the Ravens went into this a slight underdog, so obviously with Guernsey playing at a high level, but they were second best for out, from what I could see.
Yeah, I thought so. You know, in the first half, we had, you know, a number of chances. the game was pretty even at times, but overall I think that we were deserved winners, and it would have been a shame if they'd have got a late equaliser.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw goalmouth scrambles in the first half. I mean, like four in about 10 seconds, and we had numerous penalty shouts. I mean, overall, I mean, it was a very polished performance, I thought.
But you need to let it be known that all those goalmouth scrambles were in their goal.
Oh, absolutely. Easily. I mean, and I know you don't like to pinpoint players, but who was a standout performance for you? Because you made a raft of changes, and there was a lot of young players out there as well, wasn't there?
On this occasion, I'm not really going to start isolating names. The people that were here will see for themselves and draw their own judgments on that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look at the overall performances of 23 players there, and not one person let us down.
And this is just the start of something special, isn't it? I mean, the future's bright, isn't it?
Well, if that's just the start, then we've got a lot to look forward to. And again, it can't be done just by, you know, players. It needs to be done by the supporters and spectators. And the young kids that are here today cheering, shouting, it's a great day for them as well.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, the whole occasion was fantastic. The crowd, brilliant. The atmosphere was great. Obviously, had the bands before the game.
Well, you know, better late than never. I mean, had we done this 30 years ago, would we get the same following? Everything in life, you know, sometimes has a timing. And maybe this is our time. But it's just a beginning for us. I just know that when we come back on Wednesday, the result will mean nothing to me, and we just go again.
Well, I mean, that's been the rubber stamp of your Geordie's teams over the years, hasn't it? You keep on going, and it's that relentlessness, and that will transfer into this squad, won't it?
Yeah, I think it's just a case of getting that mental strength across and belief, so they understand what they've got to do and how they've got to do it. And you know, trusting me, they've got to do it every week.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. They've got to do it every week, and without fail. If they're not doing it, then they're not in it.
Yeah. Did you do anything differently in your approach to this game than you normally would?
No, I just basically took what I've done for St George's over the last 22 years and brought it here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a saying, you know, don't change, you know, what needs changing.
Yeah, if it ain't broken, don't
change it. So
yeah.
that's our ethos. And I've worked with Lee before Lee worked with the Isle of Man. Everybody's aware of what we are as a team, and they just have to step up every week. It's as simple as that. If you're not stepping up, you're not going to be part of it.
Absolutely. And you know, we're focusing here on the pitch, but what about off it? You know, the team that you've got behind you. You mentioned obviously your coaches and stuff there, but you know, you've got Steve Burns, you've got Paul Jones, you've got Gary Waitman.
It's incredible. There's a committee above me that I don't really have any involvement with. My connection to that committee is Paul Jones. Steve Burns is the guy in media who I answer to. So after that, then they have their own committee meetings and do what they do. And they've done just as every bit as good as every player today when you look about me, about the food, the stadia. It's just fantastic.
Okay, and just a final word. What's your takeaway message for the Ravens fans today? What's the one thing you want to get across to them?
Just buy a ticket every week and come down and enjoy the game.
Right, Paul, I've just given you a big hug there, because this is the realisation of, I was going to say 18 months, but it's a lot longer than that,
it's
isn't
a lot longer, really, in all reality, yeah.
So I could see the relief a little bit on your face. It's a big day today, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I thought I was going to cry on numerous occasions before today. So when I visualised this in my head, I was like, how am I going to keep it together? And there was a couple of moments where I nearly went. And the strangest moment was, do you want to know what?
Selling this story to Netflix, I'll need this sort of details.
Yeah, the moment that really got to me was about an hour and a quarter before the game. And Tom and I, who does our social media, we were waiting for the Guernsey team bus. And there was people walking over Paul Rose Bridge, Wembley Way, Rose Bridge, fathers with their sons and daughters in their hands, couples walking to the game, and I was like, this is, like, it suddenly hit me, like, this is why we've done it. It's like, we growing up didn't have that. We couldn't go to a game with our parents, we couldn't go to an event like this on the Isle of Man, and it just that's when it hit me. It's like, we've done something that has never been possible before till now. And that was just like one little snippet, I guess, that made me think, actually, like, this could be quite cool if people can come to the game with their families and do that stuff that you can't do on the Isle of Man. You've got to move off to do that, haven't you? And you don't need to anymore.
Sellout crowd.
stunning weather, a win. It couldn't have really gone any better, could it?
No, it couldn't, no. And, you know, we have a little bit of a joke amongst the working group that is like, when the shit hits the fan, it's going to hit the fan quite significantly because it's not done it yet. And we've rode the wave, I guess, to a certain extent, and we've done really, really well. But this is now the beginning, real beginning, the true beginning of the project. It's taken a lot of hard work to get to this point. But yeah, the relief is because we now have a football team. We've now had people watch them. The support was unbelievable, I have to say. It was like actually being at a football match, which I know that, I don't say that with tongue in cheek, because Manx football's great for what it does and keeping people involved in the game and helping young people develop and all the rest of it, and to give our adult stuff to do. But this was like a game of football that you would pay to go and watch in England.
Yeah.
And that's that's an experience we couldn't have on the Isle of Man until now. And the crowd were fantastic. And it was probably a lot of people that maybe wouldn't normally go to football or wouldn't normally come to watch the local game. Mm-hmm. And I hope that now means they will go and watch a local game and they'll go and take time in football, or they'll let their sons and daughters play, because this is now potentially available to them in 10 or 15 years' time.
I was going to say, wouldn't it be nice now you can go and lie in a dark room for a week or so, but you can't really, can you? Because obviously in the background, hopefully, we're going to have the North West Counties League debut in October. It's looking like Paul Orr's tweet the other week alluded to October the 3rd.
October, that's where they're planning to do it. Whether they're allowed to or whether they decide it's viable, North West's, not in an amazing place at the moment with it in a lot. So until they've kind of said all the teams in their league can have spectators, then they won't be starting. But yeah, there's... Like, the lads that have been involved have the last two, since we announced the game, mate, the amount of work that has been required in order to get this on, there's a load of them that have had three or four hours of sleep a night, because obviously we've all got full-time jobs. So, yes, as a group, we've said, we'll wind down for a week and then we'll do our post-match review, not from Bassi's point of view, but from our point of view and learning of lessons. And I mean, it's been a great day, but not everything's been perfect. So there's stuff that we know that we can be better at, and we get another chance now to do that, rather than with the Ireland team you're waiting 6 months or 9 months to have another opportunity. The great thing about this is hopefully it'll be week to week, we can improve on what we're doing, and Bassi and Lee and the coaches get a chance to work with the players and on a week-to-week basis on something that hopefully, Guernsey are a good side and they're two levels above us, and the lads have, we are two different teams each half, which helps us, but everyone's been a credit, haven't they? And you can see that we have the players to play at a decent level, and now they've got a stage in order to do that.
And before I let you go and have a well-earned pint...
I might have one.
Or two.
I might have one.
Is there a possibility of a return fixture while the Airbridge is still open? Or
It's difficult. The reason I know we didn't get a lot. We got a little bit of stick maybe for putting the game on tonight, and it was literally the only time we could get them on the island. We were aiming for next week, but that wasn't going to work. And bank holiday weekend can't work because of flights, and then the Airbridge is kind of closed. Yeah. So unless they're extending the Airbridge, it's going to be very difficult. Will we go back down and play them at some point? Yes. Are Jersey Bulls, Guernsey and us thinking about some sort of triangular tournament every now and again? Then of course we are, because we're the only clubs in England who have this shared connection, and we're going through the same thing, and it's been great even just spending time talking to Tony and Nick and Mark, the chairman, just the last 24 hours about the similarities that we've all had, and theirs were 9 years ago. And to be fair, Tony showed me a picture of him 8 years ago, and he said, look at that, that's you, and then look at me now, and that'll be you in the year's time. I was like, oh, okay, right. You don't look too bad, Tony. We're going to try and have a little bit of a break, but this is a bigger project, so hopefully a lot of people do know there's a cycling team we're trying to start. And three or four of us involved in the football club are involved in Sporting Club, which is the club you would join to be a member of football club. So we've got to get cycling going as well. So, we'll have a break from football, but maybe not the bigger project.
So I'm just picturing this now, one of Gary's excellent photos later, maybe you in the back row over there, just surveying it with a pint in your hand. I think having one of those... this has just happened moments, and reflecting on the fact that probably, I'm going to say definitely today, you had the biggest football match in Britain.
We did, yeah. No, we did, yeah. The only place in the British Isles that could have a crowd, weren't we? So I hope, you know, again, one of the big things of this project is to showcase the Isle of Man. And I hope that across all the news outlets, Sky Sports and everywhere else, is the Isle of Man is front and centre for the next 24 hours, and shots of the game and the crowd and everything fly around the world. Because, you know, it's been tough, hasn't it, since March for a lot of people in our community. And we kind of wanted to have this as a bit of a celebration of where we're at, but also, you know, aware that other people are maybe not quite so fortunate. But, you know, it's one of the benefits of living on a small island. And we want to celebrate that, and it's not something we should be ashamed of. You know, we've got where we are because of the community coming together, and today has been a way for us to get the community together for a football game, and hopefully people are walking away going, that was all right, I'll come back again.
Definitely, mate. Right, go and get that pint.
Cheers, buddy.
Right, Chris, we've come a long way since Park Road Playground, haven't we? I still remember the time I challenged you as a rugby player forced into playing bloody football with you, and the shockwaves that went through the school as you lie prone on the ground. As you probably had trials coming up that week. And now, actually, I think we're almost back there again, aren't we? Because this was bloody brilliant tonight, wasn't it?
Brilliant, yeah. And you feel like a school kid all over again, because this is what we've been asking for so long on the Isle of Man. And thanks to like a group of people, we've now been given the opportunity. And what an occasion we've just had.
The atmosphere was brilliant tonight. Over 2,000 people in here, I would say, and you know, a sellout crowd.
Yeah, we've got to thank every single one of them for coming and watching and getting behind us, because I don't know if anyone knew how well it'd be received, and we expected to sell out, and to have people phone calls. Can you get tickets? Can you get tickets? People thinking they can come down and pay on the gate. Yeah. And to say it's sold out, and you could have sold another 500-600.
Yeah.
And that's just brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant for us, brilliant for everyone involved, brilliant for the people that have made it all happen. And they know that we've got the support of the Manx people behind us now.
Just turning to the football side of things, obviously it was a game of few chances, really, because it was a bit pre-season-y. But the first half, you were involved in that first half team. It's like getting the band back together. You, Sean, Jack all playing together, rolling back the years, I always say. But we played well in that first half, didn't we?
We did play well in the first half. We played well second half. I think they tired second half. But yeah, first half, it's always a bit of see what they're like, see what we're going to be like. We're a new team. Yeah. I know we've played together in different areas, say like the Isle of Man team, Aoife even. But yeah, we don't know what we're going to be like playing as a new team. So to come up against Guernsey, who really are our benchmark, because they've been doing this now. They're going into their 10th season. We've played against them plenty of times, Island Games-wise, other tournaments. I've never beaten them. Mm. I've played against them. This must be my 7th game now. I've never played against them when we've won. So at least I've got a win over them. But yeah, they're our benchmark. So I think we've had a look at them now, and we see that we can compete at that level. We're going to start two leagues below them, and hopefully we can do what they did and climb through the leagues.
I know if she dad's going to have a bit of a difficult situation over the next couple of weeks, because we had 25, 24 players on show tonight. You can't play them all. I think the match day squad's about 14, 15, 16, something along those lines. Yeah. He's going to have some difficult decisions to make, isn't he?
Yeah, so 16, he's got to now take 16 from 23, but not just them 23, but 40, because we had 40 at training, and them lads have missed out tonight through injury or through not quite making it. And I'm sure that they'll be looking at that thinking, I want a piece of that. Mm. So they'll come down and probably train a bit harder. So to try and pick a squad, and not just that, then try and pick an 11 from the players we've seen tonight and the players we've had at training, it's not something I would want to do anyway. But it just goes to show that the level of the standard that we've got on the island, what we've got real good players here. Mm. And you couldn't have picked between the two teams, basically, first half, second half. I know they tied a little bit second half, but we played brilliantly.
Yeah.
Chances, we had loads of them. We could have scored more.
Yeah.
So it's great. It's great for everybody. I wouldn't want to pick the team.
While we're talking about your dad, we've got to ask you about the bum bag. What's in it?
I don't know.
I was expecting the Trilby tonight, to be honest, but he was a bit trumped by Howard Quayle. Had a lovely Panama hat on.
You couldn't top that, could you?
You know,
and I don't think that it would have gone down too well with Paul Jones, and probably Dicko probably wouldn't want to stand next to him.
I've been telling to the boys, like, if he gets the Trilby in the bloody club shop, they will sell out.
I think if we got the Raven badge on it,
we'll sell the little market stall, make a few quid.
Have the Trilby, get the Raven badge on it, and we could put some blonde curly hair hanging out the bottom of it. We could all wear one, couldn't we? Sell them. I think they'd sell out as well.
I think we're on to something there. We'll go on Dragon's Den. But yeah, the bum bag. No idea.
No idea, because we had a little team meeting upstairs. So he stands up and his shirt's lifted up because of the bum bag. My first thought was, what's in that? We didn't get anything out of it. So I don't know. I still won't know, but I'm going to go and ask.
Well, maybe this is going to be the great motivator for all these, you know, what's in the bum bag? Yeah. You know, keep everyone on their toes, doesn't it?
It could be a thing. No trilby but a bum bag. Could be his new thing.
Chris, I'm going to let you have a good, well-deserved pint. Well done, mate.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, great interviews there, Dave, if I do say so myself.
I mean, what other interviews can you get where you're going to talk about bum bags?
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, I mean...
It must be the only football podcast, possibly this side of Bristol, that's discussed bum bags this week.
I hope so, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about football again briefly before we leave you for this week. There's a full card of fixtures in the Premier League and Division 2 scheduled for Saturday. Hopefully Storm Ellen won't be... although you're looking tentatively, Dave. I don't want to give away Dave reads the weather.
No, don't worry, mate. Don't worry. You can read the weather if you want. I think Andy reads the weather's got a better ring to it.
Absolutely not. The cult following you've built up would be destroyed if we did that.
You can't really call my parents a cult following.
Yeah, fair point. But yeah, we're going to start off with the Premier League. Start off with Corinthians St Mary's. Now, this should be a good game, isn't it? Obviously, Corinthians are scoring goals for fun at the moment. But St Mary's got a good win over Ayr midweek and have got the luxury of having Jack and Frank and their FC Alaman players available at the moment.
And Steedo.
And Steedo, of course.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good game. There should be plenty of goals. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it will depend on, say, the likes of Alex Harrison, whether he's back or not. Carl Clark, I don't know whether he did play the other day. I'm not sure. But because it's going to be a tough afternoon for that St Mary's defence, I think. But yeah, it should be good. I think Corinthians will win it. Mm. I think they've probably got a little bit more of a settled squad at the moment, and obviously their players are flying at the moment. So yeah, it should be entertaining.
So you're at that match, so please do set your smartphones to follow at Manx40Pod for updates throughout the afternoon, including probably what Dave had for his halftime.
We talked about last week, they do some good snacks.
Well, you revealed the fact they did burgers and chips for you 1 week.
Well, yeah, they didn't just do it for me. I think it was because I was loitering after the match. I was chatting with Tony Mepham, and I think Karen brought out the food for the players, and I ended up getting invited in to have some scrans, so I did. But, you know, it's the highlight of my journalistic career so far. So
no pressure on Jane or Karen this week.
No, at all.
Laxey versus Douglas Royal is... Laxey, we've talked about it already, made a great start to the season. Douglas Royal, obviously a bit of a hammer in midweek. We're keen to bounce back. Lots of good young players on show in this match at Glenrothes. Dave, this should be a good game as well.
Yeah, really good. I mean, you know, Royal had a good game on the first day of the season. You know, they got the likes of Taylor Andrews and that squad. You mentioned Sam Baines before. Laxey, again, you know, for anyone who hasn't seen Team of the Week this week, there are a few Laxey players in there, deservedly so after their win against Dafka. As I said before, they've got just a really good blend of... There's a lot of young players, but they've also got some seasoned players in there as well. Max Murley seems to be carrying on where he left off last season. He was in brilliant form last year.
The bearded wonder that is Darrell Hazlitt's back.
Of course, you can't forget him as well. I think this is going to be really good. I wouldn't like to call a winner in this. I think Laxey will start as favourites, but Royal, they're going to want to bounce back, aren't they?
I went to this exact corresponding fixture last year, and it was one of the best matches I saw last season.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. The score was something like 5-3 or something like that. But it was a great game of football. Royal had Craig Dolman sent off early doors, maybe half an hour in, but continued to play some really, really good football through Sam, I think, in midfield. Yeah. But the whole team bought into it, playing it on the deck. Really nice football. And as it's Johnny Palmer's team, they always play nice football at Laxey as well. So this, if you're a neutral and you're looking for a game and you don't fancy going to see what Dave fancies, is it, you know, the Bella Fletcher cupboards, Laxey Royal would be a good stop to go to. St John's versus Douglas Athletic, Dave. As we mentioned, St John's still sat on a dock at the moment, but Douglas Athletic bounced back in the weird week. This is another tight match at Mullinicloy.
Yeah, I think it will. I watched the reverse fixture of this last season down at Springfield Road, and I think Dafka won on that day. I think Paul Whitehead was sent off. I expect it'll be a different game completely this time. I think St John's will be really fired up for it. Yeah, I reckon. Going to sit on the fence. Score draw in this one, I think.
Score draw.
First point of the season for St John's, I reckon.
Yeah, clean sheets have been a bit rare this season so far, haven't they?
Yeah, but they always are in Max football, aren't they? Unless you're all blood.
Fair point. Moran versus Peel, a game that's actually taking place at Foxdale, just to complete the Western Triangle, because Moran, obviously, Crosby Cricket Club are still using their pitch at the moment for the next few weeks, I would suggest. This one, now, it's probably taken on slightly different significance after Peel's narrow defeat in midweek. Now, Moran have lost their opening two, but they've scored some goals, which is a positive.
Yeah, definitely.
They'll be fired up for this derby. Can they take something out of Peel?
You know what? They could, and the fact it's on a neutral ground, you know, that could play into their hands a little bit. And obviously, Peel will go into it as favourites, and they'll be very disappointed from that result the other night. Obviously, Peel's team isn't quite fully settled yet. I mean, they lost a few players in the summer. Like the likes of Aaron Costain is obviously a regular in Foxdale, so he'll probably feel right at home on that pitch. And he got a goal the other night, didn't he, I believe, against Laxey. So, yeah, no, I think this will be an entertaining match. Moran will definitely be up for it.
They'll smell blood in the water.
They will, definitely, but I think Peel will come out on top in this one.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I've got a feeling 4 or 5-2.
I think the important question is, do they serve monkey brains in the Baltic? You know, if they do, Dave Brew's men will be well up for it. So.
Elsewhere, St George's take on Douglas High School All Boys in a derby of sorts. It's only a hop, skip and a jump from Blackberry Lane to Glen Country Road. Geordies under Johnny Myers will be keen to get a win under their belts. Is their first match day?
It is. Obviously, they had their game was postponed against Rushen on the opening day, and then they had the night off the other night. Yeah. So, I know. I believe Johnny Myers was down scouting in the Old Boys Rushen game. and I think he watched the friendly as well pre-season. So, yeah, he'll certainly know a bit about Old Boys, but you know. That result the other night against Rushen, Old Boys will be really hurting from that. They'll want to put that right in this game, but I think Geordies will be too strong for them. We know they've got a good squad there. Although it's just going to be interesting to see how Johnny Myers puts his stamp onto that team, really. So it should be good.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I think he'll be trying to continue. You don't really
mess with what
Bassey's done. You know, you think they've done all right under Bassey, haven't they?
Not too bad. You know, could say they've been okay.
So I think Johnny will take trying to be a continuation rather than that. And I don't think you'll want to rot the boat too much. Rush United versus Ramsey. Dave Ramsey obviously making a long trip down to Port Erin. I presume they'll be stopping over somewhere around Crosby, just overnight on Friday probably. But yeah, Rushen. We've talked about it already in this podcast. Even they're scoring goals for fun. Ramsey have made a good start to the season, and you know that we shouldn't be overlooked. But this looks to me all day a home win.
It does. I think Rushen. It's their first game at home this season. They're going to be well fired up. I think there'll be plenty of goals again. Ramsey, we talked on it before. The likes of Dylan Pickles and that, they are dangerous up front. I don't see why they can't get a couple of goals in this. But I just think Rushen will be too strong. We've obviously talked about Hattersley and likes of Jamie Johnston. There was someone else that was in action last night who I'll mention in Combi Corner as well. It's an embarrassment of riches, isn't it?
They have forwards for fun, as the kids would say. Right, JCK Division 2. The game Hattie is taking on Saturday is a mouth-watering one down at the Station Fields, not just before Dickie's pasty. I'm talking about Colby versus Union Mills. Mills, 20 goals. No, 20. 26 goals.
26 goals already, yeah. So.
None conceded?
I don't believe so, no. So, you know.
And I'm just as I briefly checked the results again. They haven't conceded any. Big ask for Colby. I watched this corresponding fixture again last season. Colby defended resolutely in this and seemed to frustrate Mills for about 45 minutes, and then that gave them the platform to kick on a bit. So, I think that'll be the plan again for Charlie Omar. Maybe, but who knows? Maybe he'll be like, right, we show how we play football down here and try and attack them from the off.
Exactly. I think, obviously, the major problem there is losing Carl Hickey. Without him, the whole game plan changes, doesn't it? I'm sure Charlie's got some tricks up his sleeve for this, so it'll be interesting to see how they do approach this game. Mills are going to be favourites. You know, it's going to be a case of, you know, we've seen it with some teams. In the Champions League, Bayern Munich, they just want to score more goals than you, don't they? Yeah. And I think that's how Mills are going to approach it this season. So, I think the Millers will win this one.
James versus Goodness Athletic, the surprise package possibly of the season so far. Goodness Athletic going to James, one of Tony's former clubs, one of the many. He'll be keen to get a good win here. James on the flip side, two games played. I think they lost on Saturday as well.
They did. So yeah,
they'll be keen to get the show on the road there, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they did. I saw the corresponding reverse fixture at Bemmer Hague last season, and on that occasion, James, I think it was 5-6-0. Ross Crawford shone in that game. I think James even missed a penalty, so it could have been even more. This will be totally different. I think it's going to be a lot closer. I fancy Govs to win this one. They'll make it 3-3. They'll be definitely keen to do that. But Jim's, they might just fancy this one to get their first point of the season. So it's going to be close.
Fence sitting as usual.
Nah, Govs are going to sneak it.
Woof! I'm going to go for a draw. I think obviously Govs scored 17 goals on midweek, which is no mean feat. No. But I think Jim's will get something out of this one. Braddon versus Michael. Dave, now Braddon have lost their first two. Michael, obviously we've said, for all the right reasons, it's great they're just playing. Can they get something out of this, though?
Definitely. Braddon haven't got going yet this season. Whether or not it's just an unsettled squad, they're just still finding their feet. I don't know. I think, the Swans will certainly be favourites, I think, going into this. And they probably will get the 3 points. But Michael, they will fancy their chances. So I think they'll be up for it. They'll probably push Braddon hard for most of the game, but I think the home side will get the win in this one.
Onken Malou. Now, Onken, we mentioned Dean Turton last week. He set off. They've started well, haven't they, Onken? In contrast to Malou, who've lost their first two. This will be a tight game, but I can see that the O's just sneaking this one.
Agreed, yeah. As you say, the O's have started pretty well, so they'll also be keen to keep that one going. Hopefully the pitch at Onken isn't ruined by the Stockies for this one, but no, it should be good. Malou desperate to bounce back, and they will. I think if this is just their bedding in a few weeks, I think the results will start to come for them. It's not panic stations by any means, but I think Onken will get the points in this one.
Castan versus Youthing. Great win for Castan in the derby midweek, as we've already discussed at length. If they're going to sustain a title challenge, they need to make this 3 points, really.
They do, and they should do. Not to take anything away from Castletown, I think. A win in a derby is one thing, because you do raise your game, don't you, for a derby. But I just think this will be too much for Castletown. It's still quite a young squad there. Youthy are flying, and I think it'll be probably a comfortable win for them in the end.
Paul Rose United versus Douglaston District rounds off the JCK Division 2 programme on Saturday. Now, Paulie, for two games, 37 goals conceded, none scored. The grim reading of the league table, it's not great, is it? But I thought it was quite nice last night. Governor's sent a tweet, and I think Michael United did, saying, keep going,
get,
lads.
Get through it. Yeah,
it does get better. Governors themselves were the whipping boys only a couple of seasons ago, so they know where they're coming from. Douglaston District will go into this one as firm favourites, but it would be nice for Pulley to even get a goal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it will, and I think they will, to be honest. I have no idea what their team's going to line up like. There's so much uncertainty around it at the moment. But, I think home advantage. Hopefully they'll get a few of their fans down and, make a bit of a day of it almost. And I think they'll be up for it. But, D&D. I think Dossers men will get another win here and continue what seems to be a good start to the season for them.
Well, if they make it two wins out of three, you can't really argue with that, can you?
Exactly.
Right, time for my favourite part of the week, Combi Corner.
Well, we go straight into Combi 1. Adam McCulloch stole the show. He scored 5 goals for Corinthians during their 10-0 win over Balfour rivals Douglas Royal. Ramsey were also in ruthless form. Calvin Kosk and Jake Kelly both scored hat-tricks as they thrashed St John's 11-2. While certain Josh Kelly bagged a hat-trick of his own as Rushen beat Old Boys 5-0. So, whether he's in that first-team squad this week, I don't know. But having someone of Josh Kelly's calibre in the Combi,
yeah,
it's just ridiculous, isn't it? Elsewhere, Harry Pack's brace helped Peel beat Laxey 6-2, while there were also braces for Lee Gartland and Tom Brennan, which helped Douglas Athletic beat Moran 5-1. Mm. And in Combi 2, Jack Murray helped himself to 4 goals as Union Mills won 7-2 at Jim's, while Robert Mellon's strike was good enough for D&D to claim a 1-0 win at Braddon. Elsewhere, Youthy defeated Colby 6-3, Michael Edge passed Foxdale by the odd goal in 7, and Malou were awarded a walkover against Castletown.
We should talk about Harry Pack. It was at Peel, was it?
It was, yes.
Yeah, I think he was a debutant. I think he might have been... did he score again in the midweek? But, I tell you, he did score in midweek.
Who?
Mr. Evergreen himself, Danny Lace,
oh,
making
God.
His 3,463rd appearance for Peel. Danny scored again on the week. That's...
What a man, what a man.
If we could bottle him, we could make a fortune.
Well, look... When are they going to build a statue? Because David Silva's got David Silva's got a statue at City. I think it's got to happen.
I think we should start, shouldn't we? The Danny. What? Where would you place him in the ground, though?
Just stick on top of the Terry Vincent stand. Just
on
top. Yeah.
Just so only drones and passing aircraft can see it.
I think so. Well, we could just put it on the left side.
On top of the shed. That's a bit lower.
There you go. Yeah, that'd be spot on.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, maybe just rename it the Danny Lay Shed.
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
Right. Yeah. Or there's the little garage where the tractor's kept next to the shed.
Yeah, I think...
There's plenty of options.
There are, I mean, honestly.
We'll workshop it. We'll talk to Colin Moore and the lads at Peel and we'll sort something out. We'll get with the Danny Lace something or other sorted, yeah?
Yeah, I think we can start a fundraising for this.
GoFundMe page. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll get a pound... A pint glass and go around after the match and see how many much we can whip up. But yeah, fantastic stuff with Danny. I don't know how he keeps doing it.
It's ridiculous.
It's an effort for me to play 7-a-side every week, let alone turn out 11-a-side. So fair play. Anything else for Tommy Gordon?
No. You know, it was the game against between Pulley and Governors was postponed, and as such, the FA have just confirmed to me that Pulley have now withdrawn from the Combi.
Right.
It was expected.
And we believe St Mary's aren't fielding the Combi team. I think we should clarify that this week. I don't think they're fielding the
team. Yeah, they're not this season either. So there's 12 teams in both divisions this year. So obviously it's a shame for them, but, you know, the priority's on their first teams. Fair play to Pulley for sticking at it and trying to get the first team out, which they obviously are doing at the moment. So, but it's a shame about the Combi.
Just before we move on from Combi, Adam McCulloch. Scored loads of goals in combination football at Braddon before he moved to Corinthians. Do you think FC Alaman, obviously Sean Doyle was involved on Saturday, will this give him the chance maybe to show his case, his talents?
I think you're right. You know, we obviously, you know, it's not just Sean Doyle when you've got Whitley, when you've got Luke Murray.
Dan Simpson,
All the attackers at Corinthians are going to be with FC Alaman. Yeah, I don't see why not. And it'll be interesting to see how he gets on at first team level, but I think he'll certainly help himself to a few goals if he does.
Right, Dave reads the weather. I'm looking out the window. It's a bit grey. The trees are sort of... They're waving. They're not in any distress at this point.
It's nice of them to wave at you, mate. That's good.
But... We have a weather warning in place, don't we?
We've got two weather warnings. Ooh. We've got amber and yellow. So we're going to have coastal overtopping today and we're going to have gales and all sorts of fun. But going into Friday, it's a case of hold on to your hats, especially you, Hattie. I'm going to reference that every week. Honestly, I have to. But it's obviously going to be windy over the next day or so. Storm Ellen is going to cause a bit of chaos. There will be some damage, I think. But it should subside a bit heading into Friday night. And Saturday we'll see sunny spells but with some occasional blustery showers. So hopefully the storm will have passed by the time the players take to the pitches on Saturday. But it just depends how much heavy rain we're going to get in the meantime. Because
we have had a lot this week.
We have. So I think some pitches might struggle a little bit, but for the most part we should be okay, hopefully.
Great stuff. Right, that's about it for this week's episode. Before I go, if you have enjoyed this week's podcast, or indeed any of our back catalogue, do please tell your friends. We're jumping right on the back of Peter Crouch's podcast and encouraging you to pass the pod. I hope that's not copyrighted, because we could get done for infringement here. But yeah, we're available on all good and even some bad podcast platforms, so please do tell your friends to come and enjoy the mysterious and yet sometimes entertaining world of the Manx Football Podcast. Right, until next time.
Ta-ta for now.